This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass.
What station?
Joy 94.9. And we have in the studio Luke Creasy. Luke Creasy is Labor's endorsed candidate for the federal seat of Melbourne. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Tass.
Great to have you in the studio.
So the seat of Melbourne, Luke, Adam Bandt has held that seat for the Greens. This is his
three terms.
Yes, three terms. So it's a long time. He's had a lot of time to build a big profile.
He has.
I am the underdog in this contest, and I'm going to be talking about why I think that we need a Labor member for Melbourne.
Well, tell us why.
I guess just to introduce why I'm involved in politics, I became political quite early in my life. And it happened through my early experiences. My earliest memories of my mum were when she was often locking herself in her office, applying for jobs. She was in insecure work. And the reason for that was because that she was a teacher during the Kennett government. And I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember the Kennett government. The Kennett Liberal government.
It's very cute of you, Luke.
The Kennett Liberal government during the 90s closed schools. There were 8,000 teachers out of work. Privatisation was rampant, and it scorched into the memories of many people. And my mum was one of those teachers who was out of work, and I've seen what that does to people. I didn't grow up in a party political household. A lot of people who are members of political parties, you know, their parents were. My parents weren't political. They were actually pretty apolitical, really. One thing that they did instill in me, though, was unionism and that idea that you need to be part of something bigger than yourself in order to fight vested interests. So I guess I'm Labor because that's the movement that has achieved social and economic change for people, and we do need to be in government to deliver that change. And that's the argument that I want to put to the people of Melbourne, that we need to be part of a government in order to actually affect change.
Wow, that's lovely to hear where you've come from and what's helped to shape some of your values and some of your thinking. So why have you decided to actually run as a political candidate? Do you really want to be in Parliament in this sort of zoo that's occurring at the moment?
Cesspool.
That's a good way of characterising it. Those early experiences with my mum in insecure work, that's actually reflective of a lot of what my generation is facing.
Yes.
So, I have worked in hospitality and in retail with insecure work, with underemployment, and that actually has a huge impact in people's lives, how they actually make ends meet. And so I want to talk about those material concerns that people have, and how we can fight that,
Why do you want to be an MP?
Well, because I think that's the best way to affect change is to get in there and affect change. So one of the things that caused me to choose to join a political party, to join the Labor Party, was actually a quote by Tony Windsor, and I think he had been quoting someone else. But he said that the world is run by the people who turn up. And I guess looking at our current federal parliament and looking at the events of this week and what the Liberals have been up to, we've got a federal government that is tearing itself apart because they don't actually have a consistent vision for what this country needs. And I think through my own experiences as a teacher myself, I was inspired clearly by my mum, And as a young person who sees the struggles that other young people are facing, I want to make a difference.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I welcome having a diverse parliament. The thing that I absolutely abhor is having a bunch of old blokes, same,
yeah,
all, you know, straight out of the same factory, all with the same suit, all with the same smile, out there parading the same old rusted values. Yeah. I want to see...
Left and right of the chair.
I want to see young people. I want to see people of different ethnic backgrounds, of different experiences, different sexualities, even different genders. I want to see greater, you know, gender equality in our parliament. I mean, you know, the comment has been made that there was no way Julie Bishop was ever going to get the leadership yesterday because she's a woman and the Libs are just not ready to have a woman as their leader. So, full marks, you are a young man. You're about 23.
28, actually.
No. 28? 28. You're a young man. You're an inner city kid. And you've been shaped by the values of your family and your experiences. So great to see you. So tell us a bit about some of your reflections on yesterday. And yesterday's shenanigans.
I guess first of all, to pick up on your point about Julie Bishop, it is, I guess, a reflection on the position of women within the Liberal Party, that for every year that she was deputy leader of her party, she got one vote. She only got 11 votes in that first ballot for the leadership. And I think most listeners...
Gee, that says something, doesn't it?
It does say something. And most listeners would agree that Julie Bishop, say what you will of her, she has been one of the more competent members of this government.
Yeah.
And to have now lost the deputy leadership... and, you know, to have not even had much of a showing for the leadership, you know, I guess if you were a woman, why would you join the Liberal Party?
There's another reason, Tass. Julie Bishop, don't forget, Julie Bishop was Shadow Treasurer and made a complete and utter botch of it. Now, as Foreign Minister, I think she's been quite a reasonable Foreign Minister. She's tried hard in a lot of areas to be bipartisan, and I think she's done well. Some criticism in some areas. But does she have the policy smarts to be Prime Minister?
No, probably not.
No. The fact she's a woman worked against her absolutely in that, but also she's not right-wing enough to attract more than 11 votes.
And doesn't it say something about that party that the problem they identify or think that they have is that they aren't right-wing enough?
Yeah.
While they have been just attacking workers' rights and conditions, they have cut penalty rates,
they have done
all of those things that the...
wage theft. You know, Michaelia Cash, when she's not doing her hair, Michaelia Cash has supported a system that allows for wage theft. She doesn't seem concerned about it, and if people say she is, look at what they've done about wage theft. Nothing.
Yeah.
You know why?
You compare that to our Andrews Labor government, who are actually running full-heartedly on a platform in the next election that they will outlaw wage theft. And as someone who worked in hospitality and who was paid under award rates for years...
Absolutely.
That is the experience of many, many people in hospitality. And, you know, we've heard about Neil Perry's... empire and how there migrants who were afraid of being deported if they spoke up and who were getting paid under award rates. You know, something needs to be done about it, and the Liberals clearly don't care about that.
They don't.
In fact,
and,
they
dare I say,
want to entrench it.
You know, what have the Greens done about it? I don't know. I have nothing springs to mind. This is an issue, you know, wage theft.
Nothing as in you don't know or you don't think they've done anything?
Well, I think both. I mean, you know, I follow these issues and, you know, I'm so glad, Luke, this is something that, you know, you're really interested in and that you're, you know, you're going to talk about. People often go, oh, yeah, you know, look, doesn't matter that much. Wait till it's their kids or their nieces and nephews, right? that are working in jobs and being intimidated into not claiming. Anyone who runs a business that is based on not paying people the right money, you're a thief.
Mate, right? Somebody said
you're
to me recently...
You are a criminal and you're a thief.
A small business operator said to me recently that removing penalty rates was a really good thing. And I said,
did
how?
He drop his prices?
I said, how? How can that be a good thing? You have children. How do you think your children would feel working all day Sunday nights, while all their friends are having their family meals, their roast meals with their families, while your kids are trying to actually make a bit of a living? And like everybody else, they want to have a normal life and do normal things, like you'd be able to buy a home and have a family and have holidays.
What was the response?
Yeah, they did shrink a little bit. They didn't expect that from me. I don't know why. So, Luke, back to you.
Yeah.
Why do you really want to be a Member of Parliament?
Oh, you keep asking him.
I know. Why do you want to be an MP? Do you really believe that you can impact change from inside more than the outside?
Well, yes. So I guess I was really inspired by the example of, say, Penny Wong. So... you know, the Labor Party did have the wrong position on marriage equality for years. And back in 2004, Penny could have quit the party over that position. but Penny showed that if you're part of a party, part of a movement...
A team.
You can actually persuade people. You can bring people into your column and you can actually... change the party's position. And I still think it's true that if you change the Labor Party, you can change the country. And that's what Penny Wong and Rainbow Labor achieved back in 2011. And, you know, a number of years later, after lots of agitating, we now have marriage equality in Australia. And that's due in no small part to activism's working within the movement as opposed to just getting angry outside of it.
Oh, I thought we had Malcolm Turnbull to thank for that. He told us that yesterday. Are you saying it wasn't him?
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone from our community is going to be thanking the Liberal Party anytime soon for that divisive plebiscite and the harm that it produced within our communities. I'm certainly not in a hurry to thank him when it could have just been a simple vote of the Parliament and could have just been done.
Yeah. So, Melbourne, the seat of Melbourne, Adam Bandt's very well known. He's been there a long time. Why would you say to people, why would you want people to vote for you rather than Adam?
Well, look, I am a Labor lefty. I quite often agree with things that the Greens say. But I guess I don't want to just feel good about the things that I say, the words that I say. I want to feel good about the lives that we can change. And I do think that we can change lives through winning government. And I look to the example that the Andrews government has set. And we have changed lives across our community. We've built schools. We've properly funded hospitals. You know, on all of these measures, we have actually affected change. And I think it's time to take that federal. We have a Liberal government who's aimless, who are tearing themselves apart, and it's time to change the government. And I want Melbourne to be part of that change, that we have a progressive Melbourne voice in the next Labor government.
That's a nice pitch. Tell us what you think about the top two or three issues in the seat of Melbourne that you'll have to campaign hard on.
Yeah, well, look, there are lots of young people my age living in Melbourne because this is where we work, this is where we study, and the issues that are affecting us are things like housing affordability. You know, we do need to address negative gearing. We need to make sure that, much like the Andrews government has been doing, that renters have rights. So that fight has been happening this week, so that renters are actually treated like the house that they're living in is their home. So there's housing affordability. There's also our rights in the workplace. So I've spoken about insecure and precarious work. So restoring penalty rates. I think at a time when incomes are stagnant, workers haven't had a real pay rise in a very long time now, but the cost of living is constantly creeping up. Rent in Melbourne is really expensive. I know as a Melbourne renter myself, and when cost of living is creeping up like that, people feel
they feel the pain. Yeah.
And I think that's a huge issue for people locally. Besides that, of course, as a teacher, I think education is a huge one. Now, around a third of the electorate is involved in education in some way, either as a student or as a teacher, an academic. And education is something that does change lives again. And looking at the visionary policy that the Andrews government are delivering, free TAFE courses in target courses, that is something that does change lives. It creates opportunities for people who wouldn't otherwise have them. And in the current context where people are pretty desperate, you know, that is a huge issue.
Luke, I'm sure we'll hear from you again, and who knows when the election's going to be called. My hunch is it'll be sooner rather than later. So I hope you're out there sharpening your fingernails and getting ready for a huge battle out there. Best wishes. We look forward to seeing what happens as we go forward.
Love the passion.
Love the passion. Yep. Fantastic. Love the passion. And love the youth and love the exuberance and keep it up. Be yourself.
Thanks so much for having me on. And listeners, if you are interested in finding out more about me, you can search me on Facebook, Luke Creasy for Melbourne, and I'm also on Twitter.
Fantastic.
Great. Will do.
Fantastic.
Luke, all the best.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Cool.
Thanks so much.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.